All right. Thank you, folks. Good to see everyone. I know we do have a few folks visiting because of the college graduation tonight. We're glad you're with us. Good to see the Stanleys with us. Pastor Chad Stanley had Brother Stanley Sr. He just gave me a good report on how many souls have been saved here just recently in his ministry and how many Bibles, getting a lot of good King James Bibles out in many places in the world. We take the Bible for granted in America, but there's places in the world that it's very, very precious to them, and they do appreciate it and honor it. I made a trip or two early years to Russia and a few other places where the Bible was, many places where it was banned, and it was precious in their sight. We was in some church services in Russia where they had the kids stand up and demonstrate to us how they could quote whole chapters of the Bible because that was their Bible. They might have one Bible they'd passed around through the years, and the kids with the better memories would stand up and quote a chapter at a time or more in a church service. And I came home feeling so, got back home, and I felt like we were all backslidden. I mean, compared to what I saw over there and some of the, how they appreciated some things we'd taken for granted for so very, very, very long. Well, it is good to see everyone. I appreciate Brother Parsons letting me continue to teach the adult Bible class. And, of course, what it was is I got into the book of Revelation. I just stayed in it, so he had to leave me to finish it. And there's been some predictions the Lord would come before I ever got through with it. And that would be all right with me, amen. But if you open your Bible, we've been going through the book of Revelation now, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This is the way we do here in Sunday school. The way to learn your Bibles, bring it. Be willing to open it up and follow along. And, of course, with all the news of the day, we ought to be really interested in what God says, because it sure does look like things are wrapping up fast. It is so amazing how things keep happening. And about the time we think it can't get worse, it does. And just this week, and I didn't really watch all the news this week, but I saw something in town earlier part of the week that I had not seen since the early 70s. That was cars lined up to get into gas stations. And I understand all the excuses for it and all that. But at the same time, did you know the book of Revelation predicts a time basically of an oil shortage? You read over there where the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse begin to ride, and the price of the oil gets to be really high priced. I heard somebody say, maybe it was Wednesday night, I'm not sure where it was, somebody said, well, we'll get a horse. I used to hear that when Jimmy Carter was president, but none of us did. We just somehow made it through. And the truth is, we have done the extreme foolish thing here in this last 100 days in America, committing suicide in so many areas. But God's still in charge, amen? Now, I have to catch you up a little bit in the book of Revelation. We are going chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we are kind of hung up in chapter 15. Not that it's a long chapter, it's only 8 verses. But when we kind of run a little bit of reference on what they refer to, it's taken some time. I always try to tell you that we got to stay on the big outline, so to speak, we are fleshing out the skeleton in the book of Revelation. And the outline that we're following is given in chapter 1, verse 19. If we get that verse and hold to it all the way through the book, we know where we're at, pretty much where we're going. Verse 19, John's on the Isle of Patmos, exiled because of his testimony for the Lord, persecuted by the Roman emperor. God's not through with him. He gives him the book of Revelation to write. And the last book in our New Testament, John was probably in his 90s. He was the one disciple that had lived through without being martyred. He was basically on a prison island because the Isle of Patmos was that. And that's still used in some nations today. No greater wall than having the ocean around you, amen. And so John was there, and God gave him the vision. So in verse 19 of chapter 1, John's told to write the things thou hast seen. The vision he's given to him, which will take the whole book of Revelation. Let me just interject this. God is not limited by time like we are. You know, we turn this page, the next page, we think it advances. But when you get the book of Revelation, it's written a little different. It's more like walking up to a whole big picture at one time and seeing the whole picture at one time. Therefore, we can sometimes see a scene here, and later on we'll see that scene added to a little bit. And that's what we'll do a little bit here this morning in chapter 15. But the things thou hast seen, the things which are, we're going by the points, things you've seen, things which are, these are the things you write, things which are. Well, the things which are was the church age, and John was in the church age. Very likely was a pastor at the church at Ephesus, maybe some others. And the church age, now where are we living this morning? We're living at the end of the church age. John was near the beginning of it. And yet the letters to the seven churches are given in chapter 2 and 3. And so the things that are was the church age. Then the things which shall be hereafter. So we only got 3 points you're following in the book of Revelation. Everything else will fall under those three. You'll find a place to put it. And the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. You and I haven't got to the hereafter yet. We're still right at the end of the church age, end of chapter 3. We believe, and most good Bible students believe, that in chapter 4, when John hears a voice from heaven and hears a trumpet, he's caught up around the throne. I believe a great picture of what we're expecting next, the rapture. John was a great type of the church, and he's caught up around the throne. And then he begins to see something around the throne. He sees who overcome the Redeemer by his blood. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but when he looks at him, he's a lamb with his throat cut. He overcome by shedding blood for our sins on the cross. And they sang a song that's referenced here in chapter 15, the Song of Moses. Yes, we dealt with that. In fact, somebody wanted me to go a little further than I did last week, but I got hung up on the Song of Moses. It's pretty long over in Deuteronomy chapter 32. But there's another song mentioned also, and that's the Song of the Lamb. And it's called a new song. They sung a new song. Well, that new song is the song of grace. It's the song of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that John sees in chapter 5. So we move on through, and then to try to catch up where I'm at, I have to say we've been introduced to a number, 144,000. No, it's not some cult claiming to be that group. But the 144,000 are identified. We run across them in chapter 7, then in chapter 14. They're identified as 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a literal truth, because you see, God's not through with Israel. Boy, Israel's in the news right now, shooting thousands of rockets at them. And the liberals in America are siding against them. Isn't that amazing? It really is amazing. Well, our Genesis 12 warns us about that God will put a curse on them that curse Israel, bless them that bless Israel. America, up till now through the years, has pretty well stayed on the right side. Some presidents more for Israel than others. Some was pretty much against them. And right now, America's going to get in trouble with God if they side against Israel. And that's the danger zone that we're in right now. But the 12,000 from 12 tribes identified. In chapter 7, we find them on earth. We come back and get some more information on them in chapter 14, and now they're up to heaven. And I said something that I'll have to address a little bit this morning. I don't preach or teach a lot on what I can't prove from the Word of God. The Bible is always the best interpreter of itself. You can find the writings of men, some of them better than others, none of them perfect. But The Bible itself is its best commentary, and the Bible says that no scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, what that means is you don't get one to say this and another one to contradict it and take your truth from it. No. Something's wrong if you got scripture contradicting itself in your interpretation. It doesn't. It's of no private interpretation. One will give you more light on another and more detail on another, but they'll never contradict each other. And that's the thing we need to be wise about. So I said something here in the opening verses of Revelation 15. I know it's only 8 verses, but I'm going to go back to it a little bit here. And it's something that's not preached and not really any real point to preach it. Number one, we can't prove it. Number two, it's far ahead of where we're at right now. The rapture has not yet taken place. We're still in the church age. And the Laodicean church make God sick on his stomach. That's where we're at right now. And boy, it don't take much to look around and see why he'd be sick on his stomach and what's called a church today in many cases. But there seems to be, now when we get to chapter 15, we're moved to pretty much to the end of the tribulation period. Again, to define my terms, if the rapture takes place today, there's a good chance the tribulation period would not have to begin tomorrow, but it could, or it could be a little gap, but we know there's a 7-year period called the 70th week of Daniel. In Jeremiah 30, it's called the day of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is a synonym for Israel. So it's the day of Israel's trouble. Romans 11, Paul says, while blindness in part has come to Israel, God is not through with them. And so God will again deal with Israel as we move from the church age and the church, and I'm using that in a generic term, but the saved basically raptured up. Then on planet Earth, the 70th week of Daniel begins to run its course. We read in chapter 13 of Revelation how the Antichrist kingdom will come and mark everybody with a mark. By the way, if you've been paying any attention to the news, we're not too far from that mark right now. They're just trying to figure out how to threaten and scare everybody into taking something to prove you've been vaccinated. They want to say a passport. Well, it's going to boil down to the best thing is a number and a mark, electronic light under your skin, chip, whatever you want to call it. We're not very far from it. And the far left talking heads on TV are pushing it all the time. Have you noticed that? Now, see, I'm meddling a little bit, and I'll come back to the scripture in a minute. But I mentioned the gas thing this week. That was causing a lot of trouble in the White House, so they needed some shiny object to divert your attention away from that. So they came up all of a sudden, you got to watch this diversion business. They're good about that. When they get you watching this, you better watch what they're doing that you're not looking at. That's the way the thing works. But anyway, the object was that the president come out and said, oh, you can now take off your mask if you've been vaccinated. Well, duh. Anybody that's been vaccinated and still wears that stupid thing, something wrong with their thinking. I mean, there ought to be some advantage for getting a needle poked in you, amen? That's my opinion, and I can't give you a verse on it, but that's my opinion. Anyway, the diversion was all of a sudden, get your mind off the gas. We're going to let you take your mask off if you're outside. You've been vaccinated, blah, 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 all that junk. But that worked. It got a lot of folks talking about that and got the news spot cameras turned on that business. But then, did you notice how the far left crowd that's learned how to control the population with this plandemic, have you noticed how they're controlling everything? They don't want to give up the mask. They don't want to give up control. So they're saying, but wait a minute, and they're qualifying it. They really don't want to get rid of it because this country, among other things, with the fake media and the COVID, has lost so much ground to the devil's side, to the Antichrist kingdom that's being built. They don't want to give that up. They're not going to give it up if they inhabit. So that's where we're at. Now, if the rapture takes place, the tribulation period where God deals with Israel again, where the Antichrist kingdom comes in, where the mark comes in, mark probably comes about halfway in that 7-year period. We found it at the end of chapter 13 here. Everybody knows the number 666 is not a good number. A few phone companies have tried to have a prefix 666, and even the common people rebelled against it because they're afraid of it. Mark of the beast. Well, it is. It will be. It'll be incorporated in. I made a prediction several years ago that was not popular. When people were saying, I won't take the mark. I said, yes, you will. If you hear, you will. You don't want to take the mark, get out of here before it's given. Let the rapture come get us. Amen. Because you can't buy or sell. You can't feed your kids. You can't have a normal life if they make that the law. You know what it takes to make outlaws? Make a bad law. You understand what I just said?
Amen.
Make a law nobody can keep or will keep or go against their biblical convictions, and next thing you know, you got lawbreakers. I may be looking at a few. You may be looking at one. Amen. The truth of the matter is, that's all it takes. And so, best thing to do, not take the mark, just get out of here. But I did make the prediction. People would take it. And since then, I'm stronger on that prediction than ever before. I said at the time I made it, all they'd have to do is say, you either take the mark or turn in your cell phone. That would do it. That would do it. Can't live without it. I was joking. I said, I walked through the woods with some fellows, and it was so nice to just hear the crickets and the quietness, just the crickets and the birds singing and all the cell phones chirping. Every last one of them had a phone go off while I was in the woods. I thought, man, this is running everything. You know, that's where we're at, folks. We're hooked. We're hooked. We've been brainwashed, and these young people already looking daggers at me this morning. All you got to do is say something about the cellular world they live in. All right, I'll quit meddling and go back here. In chapter 15, we have the question that some wanted answered, and yet it's not a big deal with us. It says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them, in the plagues, is filled up the wrath of God. God is coming now at the end of the tribulation period. His wrath is fallen. He's got seven angels fixing to come in with the seven last plagues. And says, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory. Now, notice who he's talking about. Them that have gotten the victory over the mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, we've been introduced to the sea of glass before. It's around the throne of God. So they're standing now on the sea of glass. This group is. It's been caught up there. And they've gotten the victory out of the kingdom of the Antichrist. They've gotten the victory over his mark. That means they've been martyred. Now, I said the Bible is its best interpretation. So who is this group? They came out of the tribulation period. They did not take the mark. And apparently many of them, if not all of them, have been martyred. But now they're caught up to the sea of glass around the throne of God. I talked to you a little bit. I want you to go back in the book of Revelation. Go back to chapter 6. Let it come in on itself here just a little bit as we try to kind of identify this group. If you go to chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, you have a scene when the fifth seal is opened. And it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, remember he took the seven seal book from the hand of him on the throne in chapter 5. It says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? All right, where were they killed? On the earth. Who are they wanting revenge on them on the earth that did it? So here we introduced to some souls under the altar, a group. Now we find out where they've been killed. You want to find out how they've been killed? You turn over to chapter 20 of Revelation. Again, like the big picture on the wall, you can look at this and look at that and get some more detail here and there. So in chapter 20, which we have not yet got to because we're just into chapter 15, but if you go over to chapter 20, jumping ahead, you find out how these souls were killed. You go to verse 4. Of Revelation 20. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them. I believe this is the same souls that we see in chapter 6. Waiting, the martyrs waiting there for God's vengeance. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Or at high deny, they were beheaded. Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And which had not what? Worshiped the beast. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right, back to chapter 15. We find out this is the group that's gotten the victory over the mark, over the beast, over the Antichrist, over his kingdom. So we identify these from chapter 6. I think they're the same part of the group, if not all, of 144,000 in chapter 7 and in chapter 14. And now we see them again here at chapter 15. And they've gotten the victory over the beast and over his mark and over the number of his name. And they sung the song of Moses and also the song of the Lamb. So Moses, the law, the Lamb, grace, for sure. And so here we are following this same event. Now we have moved away from the middle of the tribulation toward the end, the last plagues. God's dealing here. And so the question comes, and this is what some folks wanted me to explain a little more. I had to ask the question. We identify who they are. Now we find them up there with God. We see them up around the sea of glass, around the throne. So the question begs, how did they get up there? Well, we know we're expecting a pre-trib rapture. We're expecting the trumpet to sound any time, and we could be caught up to be with the Lord. But that's the grace age, the church age. That's us that are saved, born again through trust in Christ. Tribulation period takes place on earth. Get down near the end of it. And here's a group down near the end that's also up there, a group we've recognized through these other chapters in Revelation. So how'd they get up there? I don't know if it'd be proper to call it a rapture. You know, rapture's actually not in the Bible, but it is if you go to the Latin a little bit and study it out. But the truth is, it's a catching up. That's what we're waiting on now, is the catching up, the sound of the trumpet. At the end of the tribulation, here's some that didn't take the mark, that somehow survived and martyred and gave their life. I thought about this a lot in this COVID scare business. They love not their life unto death. There's a group in the book of Revelation that chose death over the mark. I wonder how many would choose that today. We may get down if the Lord does not come soon. And all this stuff that you and I see building, there's going to be some hard choices made amongst God's people. And this COVID thing, a lot of us pastors was disappointed to see how many folks was willing to fold the tent, obey the government, and let the church hurt. Amen. That's just sad. When I was over in Russia, I had Russian preachers tell me that when the communists come in and close the churches, I had preachers make statements like this. You'll be surprised, preacher, when persecution comes, who will stand and who won't. Amen. Well, we've had a taste of that. We've had a taste of that. I got some folks probably not pleased with me right now because I took the hard stand I took right at the beginning and stuck by it. It wasn't a hard stand. It was just the right stand. Right. Either I had been a hypocrite all these years preaching I put God first, and then I wouldn't put him first when the flu bug began to spread around and they renamed it something else. help yourself. I mean, I'm so close to the end to it don't matter who I offend no more. Amen. This is a good, somebody says, how you like retirement? I'm loving it. Every now and then I remind myself, I'm not the pastor anymore. And there's a lot of peace in that. Now, I pray for Brother Parsons a lot. But the truth is, what I'm saying by that is I'm just not all that responsible anymore. So, and by the way, that's dangerous for you. You come up to me and cross me, I've got less patience with you than I used to have. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, I shouldn't have meddled like that. But truth of the matter is, those times may be coming. America's been spared persecution. We've been spared some of this business that other churches and other nations have had to face. We haven't had to face it. We may start facing more. Did anybody? I'm chasing a rabbit here now. I'll come back and wrap up in a minute. Did you see in the news where they drug that preacher in Canada off the street and put him in jail? Y'all pray for him. He's probably not quite our stripe, but I admire his guts. I admire the fact that he'll stand. Here's the thing, folks. Now, Canada's laws are not as... We're catching up, if not passing them right now with our liberalism. But that's where we're going real fast here in America. But that is not a law passed by the legislature, by the Congress. Not in America or in Canada. It's just the whim of bureaucrats making rules. I like what our sheriff said here in the county early on. Sheriff Judd, y'all know him good. He's really a good sheriff. Saved, knows what's right and wrong. And so a lot of the stores here in town and others, and they still do, put up their wear the mask sign. And I keep one in my pocket sometimes, and just for the sake of the employees, I don't want to get them in trouble if they say something, but I've about decided I'm going to get mean about it. I've been real kind about it, but I'm thinking I may get meaner about it. But anyway, when they first started putting those signs up here on the local stores, can't come in without a mask. Well, a lot of people kept doing it, coming in without a mask. So some of the store managers went before the county commission to ask the county commissioners to force the sheriff to help them enforce the wearing the mask law. Did you remember that? Y'all remember that? Nod your head, you remember that? All right. Well, that's what happened. The sheriff was also there and asked for a comment. He said, I will not enforce such a rule because it is not a law passed by the legislature. You enforce your own rules. I appreciate that. That's the way it ought to be. And I believe, honestly, if just God's church would have stood on our hind legs and raised sand to start with, a lot of this foolishness would have never had to go through. All right. It's so easy to get off on that. It's just... sticks in my craw. How many of you know what a craw is? All right. Anyway, it's coming down by osmosis, moving on into the Antichrist kingdom. And that's what we're reading about that's going to prevail in the tribulation period. But there's going to be some rebels against it. And do not take the mark. Now, you know what I've taught you, and the Bible is clear on it. The gospel's being preached now. You hear it and you receive it. You get saved. You can be caught up in the rapture. You hear it now and reject it. And the Antichrist kingdom comes when God's people are called out. God says, Paul told the Thessalonica church, that God himself would send a strong delusion that people would believe the lie. Why? Because they refuse to believe not the truth. The truth? The truth of the gospel. Right now, if you're hearing me on radio or listening in this auditorium, and you say, well, the preacher says the saved are going to get caught out. When they get caught out, then I'll believe. No, you won't. You'll believe the lie that's going to be told. You'll be tricked. You'll have the delusion. And it'll trick you. I can speculate what the delusion's going to be. They're already talking it up pretty big. But it'll fool folks. One of the things they're saying right now is they think they know something that if they were to reveal it, it would destroy organized religion. By the way, organized religion is not necessarily Christianity. Amen. And it's certainly not necessarily the gospel. I know what they're talking about. You do too. You've seen enough, heard enough, know what the programs on TV are. What's the delusion? The delusion is E.T.'s coming. And E.T. was our God all the time, extraterrestrials. Right? That's the delusion coming big, which makes a lot of us think the Antichrist himself may be not all human in that sense. Maybe kind of mixed up, like they got mixed up in Genesis chapter 6 with the seed of the women. In the book of Daniel, there's 10 kings coming, and their seed is not going to mix with mankind's seed. Interesting stuff. But here's the thing. It's all to get people distracted from the truth and from the gospel. And God himself says, I'm going to let them, because they wouldn't believe the truth, wouldn't accept my son. I'm going to let them fall for a strong delusion that's coming. All right, you got me off on that. I saw that look in some of your eyes and went that way. Truth is, back to Revelation 15, a few minutes we got left. Here's a group that gets the victory over the mark. I can't get through with chapter 15 because it keeps on referring to other stuff in my mind. One of the things is the mark. We talked about the mark. We talked about the beast in the book of Daniel. And how many of you remember I pointed out that the leopard is the cosmopolitan beast? He's the one that's got the yellow hide, we'll call it, skin. He's got a white belly. And he's got black spots on him. That makes all the major races being able to accept him. The Asian, Oriental, the white belly, the Caucasian white man, the black races, the black spots. And if you follow that, and my time's up, so I'm going to have to jump to the bottom line on it. I told you that the mark of the beast might turn out be something like a black spot. I mean, it'll have the mark. It may not even show. It may take an ultraviolet light to see it. Anybody ever hear the statement, so-and-so was blackballed? You know, the terminology that people use. I remember, I can't teach you history, but when I was in the third grade, my dad was a school teacher and later superintendent of the school board in a Georgia county. And he had some of his books at home. If you can imagine a little boy with overalls on reading a book, Brother Chad, as thick as a Bible commentary. It was literature, some of Daddy's books. Now, a third grader don't read those kind of books very good, I'll tell you that. But I picked out one in there, and you know it, called the Treasure Island. Remember Treasure Island, anybody? And I read about the young man shanghaied and with the pirates and all that business. And that's the first time I ever read about somebody receiving the black spot. Remember that? Where'd they get the black spot from? There was one guy in the pirates that had a Bible. He was a little cut above the rest of them. Remember Peg Leg and all? How many of you read Treasure Island? Come on. All right. I was thinking I'm on another planet here, but anyway. Anyway, they wanted to give one of the pirates a black spot. They couldn't find a black spot nowhere else, so they cut the Bible, the cover of the Bible. You remember Treasure Island, amen? Gave them a black spot. Well, interesting how that black spot's going to show up later in the mark of the beast, and that black spot on the leopard. If you look at the leopard real close, the black spot is like two lips. Like a kiss. You ever hear about the kiss of death? a lot of stuff that's in our literature and in our language is all Bible, and folks don't know where it originated and where it came from and where the thought ever ever happened. I don't have time to tell you. I'll give you, how many of you like some homework? Let me give you some research. I'll even give you the chapter you can study. Study Leviticus chapter 13 and study about how the priest was told to identify the disease of leprosy. He looked at a spot. You know what the spot was? If it was leprosy, if it was malignant, it was a bright spot. But you read the text in Leviticus, and the bright spot is a white spot. Now you get to the book of Revelation, and God puts a sore on the men that have received the mark of the beast. And these in chapter 15 have gotten the victory over the mark, but God puts a noisome, that's what it's called here in the scripture, noisome sore. God also marks and seals his people. He sealed the 144,000. Antichrist comes along sealing his people with a mark. God puts a curse on the mark, and the black spot becomes a white spot, malignant, with God's curse upon it. It's called a noisome sore. Look up the word noisome and see all it means. All right. You've got me off on that a little bit, and I'm still in chapter 15. And time is up. We'll get a report. We'll have 7 or 8 minutes, and we'll get the preaching service started. Stay with us, if you will.